All right, if y'all are in Romans chapter 10, we're going to pick it back up with verse number 18. And we've just been talking about the faith that cometh by hearing. And so we do need to be hearers of the Word. And the thing is, the right kind of faith comes from hearing from the right source. I mean, you think about it and you look at this verse, an atheist gets his belief from a corrupt source. So, you know, the thing is, all of them, he's got a reason why he believes the way he does. So what happens is the minute you stop hearing, you stop getting the faith you need. If we stop wanting to hear from God, it's going to waver on our faith. We're going to get to the place where our faith is not going to grow. And any time we get to where we don't want to read, we don't want to pray, we don't want to do the simple fellowship. One of my jobs is just to turn is just to point out a simple fellowship in the Lord. Well, that's hearing from the Lord. And faith cometh by hearing. You get to a place where you don't want to hear, you're not going to have faith that you need to get through the trials and the troubles that we're all going through. Every one of us got some. So we need faith. Why? Because without faith it's impossible to please God, and we're supposed to walk by faith, because I can't see what's going to happen 2-3 weeks from now, a year from now, a month from now, whatever. I need faith, and faith comes by hearing. Now, he says in verse 18, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." So you know what? Nobody, we went over this last time, the Jews weren't, they didn't have any excuse. The whole world doesn't have an excuse. The heathen doesn't have an excuse. Why? The heavens declare the glory of God, and everybody's getting a sermon every day. Nobody has an excuse in to be able to say, "Well, I just don't believe in God." Because everybody should believe in God, because He's manifested and showed Himself through not only the creation, but also the fact that He's able to get the gospel to anybody who wants to hear it. He's able to. He'll send somebody some kind of way if He sees somebody. Just like Acts 10, that Gentile Cornelius was praying, and he said, "Hey, there's a man right there whose heart's right. Peter, I want you to go down there and preach to that guy." Whether Peter wanted to go or not, he sent him. And that's amazing. Alright, now he says this, verse 19, "But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you." Alright, so he's predicting. He said, okay, I'll provoke Israel to jealousy. And Moses even wrote about it, even though it was hid from them. So look at Romans 11, verse number 11. Who is this? Who are these people here? I believe the Bible is going to teach you that it's none other than the Gentiles. Why? Because we didn't have any scriptures. They had the scriptures. We didn't have any covenants and promises or anything else, and we were foolish. Look at verse chapter 11, verse 11. "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid." He's speaking about Israel here, but rather through their fall. Look at this, ought to humble us. Salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. You know what he's saying there? He said, I'm going to provoke them to jealousy because, he said, that nation didn't have all these blessings and things. I'm going to give the Gentiles the blessings. And he said, it's going to provoke them to jealousy. Now, that's why over in the Gospels, I'm going to give you one more thing about the foolishness there. And I'm going to write down some verses so you can turn to them. Look at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And I want to show you something about how we were. This is how the Gentiles were. What he's saying is, all he concluded all in unbelief. Why? Because the Jews didn't behave any better. No old heathen Gentile. They thought they were better. And they said, well, we got all these things here, we're going to do better. No, all of us need a Savior. Why? Because they had all that stuff and they didn't do any better than the Gentiles did. So he's saying there's a foolish nation. He said, I'm going to use that nation to provoke them to jealousy. And he did just that. And we'll read that through the gospel some together. Titus chapter 3. He's speaking here to some Gentiles who've trusted Christ. Now watch what he says about us. Verse 3. "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish." Foolish. He said a foolish nation. That's the first thing he says about people who don't know the Lord. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's pretty bad right there.
Right.
Hateful, and that describes us. That verse right there, you can preach on that till the cows come home. Why? Disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasure. That's our nation. That's what the Gentiles love to do. He said, hey, I'm gonna give all these things to them. I'm gonna go to them, provoke them to jealousy. Now you wanna see the Jews get jealous a few times over that very thing. The Lord came there and they didn't want to hear anything about the Gentiles. Let me show you it too a few times. Look at Luke chapter 4 with me. And I'm going somewhere with this. I'm showing you the doctrinal application, and then I'll show you the spiritual application next. Jealousy. Well, the practical application for you is gonna be, don't get jealous. People are jealous all the time of other people, and it happens all the time. You know, a lot of times people get jealous over what other people have and things like that. And I say, one of the things that preachers run into is, instead of saying, hey, is the Lord working with y'all down there and things like that, you know what happened? The first thing they say, oh, where you preach at? Blood Spring. Well, how many of y'all got down there? Well, what's it matter how many we got? Ain't nothing to you. We got the Lord down there. We got the Bible down there. How about that?
Amen.
Y'all, that's the main thing. People, you know what happened? They try to provoke you to jealousy. They will say, well, you know, we got 45 saved in one revival there, you know, a couple weeks ago. And I don't want to hear that junk. Most of them people are just telling you lies. Why? Because people want to make you think they're super spiritual. You know what the truth of the matter is? We're not spiritual.
Right.
We just want to think we are. You know who the most spiritual people are? Is the people who think they're not spiritual. The humble people, that's the people who are really spiritual. But when you got somebody and they say, well, I'm spiritual, okay, well, you're not spiritual. Well, a spiritual person wouldn't say, I'm spiritual. See, the thing is they're humble, they think they're not. The ones who think they're not really are, the ones who think they are really aren't. Alright, so they didn't want to hear anything about the Gentiles. Look at Luke 4. The Lord Jesus is talking to Israel and he's saying this. And he said, verse 24, verily I say unto you, no prophet is except in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta. How do you pronounce that, Shiloh? Sarepta. Alright. A city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. He was a Gentile. Now watch this. The Lord saying, hey, he didn't go to any of the Jews. He went and helped these Gentiles. And watch this. And all they in the synagogue, the Jews worship in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. What's that? Provoking them to jealousy. He's saying, hey, you better watch out. That they didn't even realize, well, hey, you reject me and I'm just going to go help people like Naaman and stuff like that. He said, there's types in the Old Testament. And you know what the Lord was doing? The Lord was showing them, hey, if you don't accept me, I'll just go to the Gentiles. I'll help a Gentile. And it provoked, look, they got so mad. Look how mad they got. Mad enough to kill. And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him under the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They were, jealousy caused them to want to kill. You see how bad that jealousy is? I'll tell you something, man. You know, that's why you have to watch your heart, guard your heart. Why? You know what we need to be? We need to be able to be glad for other people. Try to get to the place where when somebody else does well, you can be glad for them. Well, here's the Jews, and they're jealous. And God said, okay, I'm going to provoke you to jealousy. Let me show you another instance of that very thing. Look at Acts 22 with me. Acts 22. I just want to show you. You want to talk about some prophecy? I can tell you right quick, that which hath been shall be again. You know what men are going to do? They're going to get to the place where they don't want you to say anything. That's why you got these words like discrimination and stuff like that. What is that? You know what discrimination, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means to tell a difference between. Y'all, it's amazing how they just invent a word. Well, you know what? If you can't discriminate between a red light and green light, you ought not be out there on the highway. Everybody here uses discrimination. If you can't discriminate between milk and poison, you ought to have somebody watching you everything you drink. You know what happens? They invent words. Why? Because people are getting offended over words just like they did back then. Watch this. Acts chapter number 22. He's speaking, Paul's preaching these Jews. And he's telling them about something happened. Verse 20 it says, "And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him." Look, watch verse 21. "And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." God sent Paul to the Gentiles. Watch this. "And they gave him audience unto this word." One word was enough to make them mad enough to kill. And then lifted up their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live." The Jews didn't want to hear about any Gentiles getting right. You know, that's bad right there. You know, you would like to think if you said, "Hey man, these people, this whole nation's going to get right here. I'm sent to this whole..." You think they say, "Man, praise the Lord, glory to God, you're going to see some people get right." And they get mad and say, "Man, this guy right here needs to die." Who would go to such a people like that? You know what? That's the people that needs the Lord. These people over here that are hurting, these people over here that's on all this stuff, and that's the people who need the gospel. Right. Y'all, we need to be glad that the gospel's getting out. And saying, "I wouldn't go down there and talk to them. The likes of them." Thank God that He saved the likes of us.
Amen.
Man, I tell you something, that's such a blessing. And you know what you're finding out? That one little word, they said, "We're offended. We need to kill that guy." You know what's wrong with people today? They're getting offended at every little thing that's said. Same thing, that they were offended at the words of Jesus Christ. They were offended at the words of Paul. And if this Bible's right here, all roads lead to Rome. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to get to the place where you can't say nothing without it being labeled hate speech. And you know what's going to happen? The Gentiles are doing the same thing the Jews did. The Gentiles, "Don't say that offends me." The Lord's going to say, "All right, I'm tired of dealing with you. I'm going to go back to the Jews."
Amen.
He'll snatch his bride out of here and go right back to dealing with the Jews. I'll tell you something, it's getting close. So that's what he's saying there. Yet foolish nation. So back to Romans. He says this right here in Romans chapter 10, verse 20. "But Isaiah," that's the New Testament way of saying Isaiah, "is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." Isn't that sad? He said, "Hey, these Gentiles, they weren't even seeking me. Hey, they were kind of like Adam. They were out there and Adam had rebelled against God, and Adam ran for God, and Adam didn't go seeking God. God went and sought after Adam, and God said, 'Where art thou?'" Y'all, what a blessing. Man, don't you know, you remember the day when God came by your way and the Holy Spirit pricked your heart and said, "Hey, where are you at?" "What do you mean? I know where I'm at. I'm sitting right here in this church pew." No, I'm talking about, "Where are you at in relation to me?" God says. And you say, "Well, you know, I've been going to church since I was a little girl. I've been going to church since I was a little boy." And the Lord says, "Now, where are you? Are you saved or are you lost?" And you say, "Well, you know, I my daddy was a preacher." And you get all these issues. And the Lord says, "No, where are you? Are you saved or are you lost?" And you know what? Whenever you realize you're lost and you say, "I know what? If I provide the sinner, he can provide the Savior." And guess what happened? He come by and looks for you just like he said. He said, "They weren't seeking for me." Guess what happened? The Lord comes by, knocks on your heart's door and says, "Hey, if you'll let me in there, I'll come in there and shut the door. And then the door I shut, no man can open it." Isn't that a blessing right there? He comes in there and he locks the door. Man, that's good. All right, so what you have is this. He's saying all day long. Now, I want to give you a practical application of this. All day long. The old preachers used to say, this is the day of God's call. Now, if you will, let's look at this day here. First thing I want you to turn to is John chapter 21. Hold your place there and look at John chapter 21. You know what? People say, "Well, back in my day..." You know, and things like that. So a day can talk about something in somebody's lifetime. So the Lord, He'll call all day long. He said all day long. That's a long time. There's been a long time. And let me tell you something. The Lord, you'll notice in the Bible, there's a day of the God's salvation call. And I'll tell you something. If somebody wanted to get a message together, here you're talking about a message right here. John chapter 21, you can work on it. And guess what he does there in John chapter 21? I'll write the verses down for you. You're going to notice, he said all day long, John chapter 21, you know what he does? He starts off and he calls in the morning. Look at John chapter 21. Peter had went off. He said, I'm going after those who wasn't seeking me. Peter said in verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. You know what he's saying? I'm going back to doing what I used to do. I'm not successful working for God. I'm just going to go do what I used to do. Let me tell you something. Once you've been working for God, once you're saved, you're fixed, you won't never be a success in anything but serving God. That's now, right. If you want to go fishing and serve God while you're fishing, that's fine. But you're not going to go fishing and be a success fishing while you're supposed to be following God. Look, double-minded man's unstable in all his way. You'll be so unstable while grieving the Holy Spirit, you won't be happy nowhere. Now, look here. It says, they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. This didn't do a bit of good. Watch this. It says, but when the morning, he said all day long, guess what the Lord does? He's stretching out his call right here in the morning. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. You know what? Here's Jesus standing there looking at them. They don't recognize Jesus. You know what happens? You're out of fellowship with the Lord and you won't even recognize him. He'd be standing there staring you right in the face, calling you. He calls in the morning time. You know what? That can picture right there early in a man's life. He'll call you early. He'll deal with people early, and I believe this, the earlier you can get saved, the better. I thank God for the people who got saved later in life, but I'll tell you something. I thank God for some of these little ones that get saved early on. Look, this junk about, just live how you want to, 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden maybe they'll get saved. Let me tell you something, a lot of them don't make it to that. Let them get saved as early as they can get saved, and let's encourage them to serve God the whole time. Amen. This old stuff about the prodigal is too much the hero in too many of these stories. Let me tell you something, the prodigal a son, not the hero.
That's right.
Number one, the father's the hero. Why? Because he accepted him back in. You got these testimonies and people are praise God and hallelujah and shout her out whenever people get up there and they say, I live like this all these years like this, and then I got saved. Okay, great. What about the elder brother who's been there the whole time? What about the one who's been faithful the whole? What I'm telling you is we've created a generation that thinks it's a marvelous and wonderful thing to get saved after 20 years or 30 years of living in just hell. And we just throw them a great big old party. Well, I thank God for the ones who got saved early and served and remained faithful. We got to make just as big a deal about the one who remained faithful. Why? Because if not, we're going to encourage a whole bunch of people to get out there and just do how they want to when a lot of them don't make it back. God's calling early. I believe we ought to encourage kids, children to get saved early as they can and live pure all the way up through to the Lord comes back.
Amen.
If the Lord would help us, you know what I want the Lord help us do at this church? If we don't do nothing else, the youth He allows to come through, encourage them to live holy, clean lives.
Amen.
It just breaks my heart to see what's going on. I'm telling you, I just about brings tears to my eyes to think what's going on in our nation. And how some of these people, I tell you something, man, I get off on this deal, but some of the stuff that these people are exposing their children to is child abuse. It really is.
It is.
You say, well, brother, I'm telling you something, it's bad. It's bad. Some of that stuff, I tell you, I know I've got to get off, but early in the morning, why? We need to encourage them to live for God.
Amen.
It's just a rough day, and I tell you something. Man, it's a privilege and an honor for us to be able to be around young Christians that God saw fit to allow us to be able to be around young Christians.
Amen.
Man, I tell you something, a young Christian will freshen you up. Man, you ever been around a young Christian reading the Bible and they ask you a question you would have never even thought to ask that question? They keep you on your toes. The older ones can give the wisdom to the young ones, and the young ones can give the liveliness to the older ones. We work together. We need each other. They need us. We need them. Now, you got it being young. That's that call there in the morning. Now, let me show you here at noon. Y'all familiar with this? But God will call people at noon, too. Midtime of life. John chapter 4. The Lord will call you right there in the middle of your life. He calls at noon as well. John chapter number 4. And you know what? A lot of times in the middle of your life, you're about as busy as you've ever been, and you're in some heated things. In John chapter 4, it says this right here, in verse number 6. Number for man. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus just happens to be the sixth word in that verse. Why? Because he died for man. That's amazing. Therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. You know what that is? 12:00 noon. 12:00 noon. He'll call you in the morning, early in life, and guess what he'll do? He calls men in the middle of life. There's been a lot of people saved right here in the middle of their life right there and served God on through there. A lot of people have been sitting in church and all of a sudden they hear, and I know we got a couple of testimonies right here tonight of somebody sitting there, middle of life, and you know what? The Lord says, hey, I'm calling you. Where are you? And they accept that call, and brother, what a blessing that is. And you know what happened? I believe we ought to encourage this group right here. Yeah, I know they said, well, I wasted so much time. Okay, well, that's water under the bridge. Guess what? You can redeem the time, spend time with the Redeemer, and bless the Lord, oh my soul. You can serve Him for the rest of your life. And I'll tell you something. This goes for those of us who may got saved earlier and didn't serve too well. You know what? I'm not let that bother me. Why? Because I know this right here. The Lord will let me spend the rest of my life with Him if I yield to Him. And maybe I messed up this week, that week, or that, but I can spend from today on serving my Savior. He said, well, you messed up. So I'm not talking about that. That's the devil telling you that. Let me tell you, the devil will remind you of your past all the time. But if I've already asked the Lord to forgive me for it, you can't let yourself just worry over that. Why? Because if God's forgiven you, you need to forgive yourself and move on. And that, middle of life, He'll call you right here in the middle of the heat of your life. This is the heat of the day. It was hot, but guess what else He'll do? He'll call you late in life. He don't give up that day of salvation. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And this is some good stuff right here. He calls, Nicodemus. Why does He deal with Nicodemus? The Lord knew what was in man. And so what He does is, chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man, of the Pharisee. This guy was as clean, of the Pharisee, he's as clean on the outside as he can be. You know what happens? A lot of older people got it cleaned up on the outside. They've lived life and they know how to clean it up. But guess what? The Lord knows on the inside whether you're saved or not. And the Lord's able to tell whether you trusted the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what happens? He comes to this man right here, and guess what it says? You talking about morning, noon, and evening. Look at verse number 2. The same came to Jesus by night. All day long, he'll call you in the morning. He'll call somebody early life. In the midday, noon, he'll call you middle time of life. And guess what right here? In the evening, he'll call you late in life. There's been a lot of people saved late in life. I've heard the testimony of the people being saved as high as 80, 81, 82. One guy nearly 90 years old was sitting, come to a revival one night and realized he was lost and got saved that one. Because the Lord, all day long, He'll stretch out His hand. If you'll come to Him early, He'll take you early. If you come to Him middle life, He'll take you middle life. And if you will come to Him at the end, He'll take you at the end.
Amen.
That thief on the cross is right there at the end of his rope, brother. If there's anybody that's ever been at the end of their rope, the thief on the cross is at the end of his rope. And the Lord said, all right, you'll be with me in paradise. Isn't that a blessing right there? Why? He'll take you all day long. He stretched out His hand. Well, so I don't know about old so-and-so. It may be too late for them. Well, they're not dead yet. It's not too late. Y'all, that's why. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. You say, what I do? Keep on praying. Why? Because they're not dead yet. We want to see them get right. And brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, if he can work here, He can work here, and He can work here. He can work morning, noon, and night. Why? Even at nighttime. Why? He can see through the night. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's the real Superman. He can see through the darkness, brother. And He can pierce His eyes through that heart and say, hey, my eyes are as a flame of fire. And that flame of that heart can light up that darkness. And He'll say, if you'll just trust me, only trust Him. We sing, only trust Him. And all they have to do is place their faith and trust in what He did for them on the cross. Man, that's good. Now watch this, back to Romans. Now, in chapter number 9, no, we done preached a sermon already. Chapter number 9, he talked about Israel's past election. Chapter number 10, he talked about Israel's present rejection. And chapter number 11, he's going to talk about Israel's future restoration. Y'all, one of these days, the nation of Israel, the Lord's going to go right back to dealing with them. That's why whenever you read your Bible, there's a great big old change. You'll read in your Bible, Romans through Philemon. That's what's known as church age doctrine. Why? Because you get these people, they'll say, well, you know, over here in Acts chapter number 2, verse 38, it says, and I'll say this right here, was Paul saved in Acts chapter number 2? No. Alright. That was the mystery of the gospel, the grace of God revealed to Paul yet? No. Well, that is not to me doctrinally. He was going to Jews right there, and they were expecting the kingdom to set up because Acts chapter 3, 19 and 21, he said, if you'll repent, speaking to the nation, I will send Jesus. He said, he'll come in the times of restitution. They didn't know anything about a church age in early Acts. Why? Because they were still expecting the kingdom. And guess what happened? Paul wasn't saved yet. So then you got church age doctrine. You know what Paul says? I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You know what Paul says? You got blessings of heavenly blessings. I'm looking, my home and your home tonight is New Jerusalem.
Amen.
And that great city. And guess what? In heaven, you're going to be different than anybody else there. Why? You're the bride of Christ. There's going to be the nations that's going to be able to come in and visit each year of the month, the Bible said in Revelation. And they're going to be able to eat off the fruit of the tree. But guess what? I got my eternal life from the tree of death, the cross. Why, y'all don't realize something. Man, we forget how much it's going to be going on out in eternity. It's not, you're not going to have one dull second in eternity. It's going to be so wonderful and so much going on and so many things, but it's going to be all sinless. You're going to be in a sinless body and be able to enjoy all those things. But you're a different group. Why? Because you're saved here. You're part of His body, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. But anybody in any other age is different. Why? Because you'll read the book of Hebrews, guess what's going to happen? The rapture is going to happen. Right here, that's the rapture right there. I'm going to put an R. And you know what's going to happen? Hebrews, through Revelation. Doctrinally speaking, you can find some stuff that will help you out. But doctrinally speaking, that's Jewish material. Why does it start abruptly? I'm not a Hebrew. In the body of Christ, the Bible said there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither Jew nor Greek. When you start seeing a distinction here, you know that something's going on. That's why when I read over there in Hebrews, you see this if that, and if that, and if, that don't have nothing to do with me. Why? Paul says we're always confident, knowing. Well, if I'm be absent with the body, I'm be present with the Lord. There's no not confidence in you. You know this tonight. If you trusted Jesus Christ, don't you ever, ever worry about going to hell. Why? Because if you kick off right here, right now, I know that sounds irreverently, but you just, what you do is kick this body off and you just be right with the Lord. Don't ever worry about your salvation. Why? Because your salvation is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ lives forever, so you're in Him, so you're going to live forever. Y'all, it don't get no better than that. That Bible fits dispensationally. Why? Church age right here, Pauline doctrine, and after that right there, doctrinally speaking, you got this stuff right here. Why? Future stuff. Why? He's going to go back to dealing with Israel, and the Bible said He's going to amend the book of the law, and you got all those things that apply to them. That, we want to put the whole Bible in on us. I don't have to build an ark today. I can eat anything I want to if I ask the Lord to bless it. Now, I don't eat possum because I think possums are nasty. But guess what? If I wanted to, I could ask the Lord to bless it. I got real hungry, we could do it.
Amen.
What I'm telling you is you're in a different age. But under the law, they couldn't do that. We don't stone people for not worshiping on the Sabbath. Well, that stuff's under the law. And you know what? You got a wholly different thing going on. People talk about this mark of the beast and Amazon's doing this and that. Y'all heard about those things? Amazon's making a chip for your hand. And they're going to get it to where if you got any kind of thing on Amazon, all you got to do is scan your hand and you can take care of all your purchases on Amazon. And they say, mark of the beast. Hey, I'm not worried about it. Why? Because I'm going to be gone when the... Now, that stuff may be setting up for the mark. That's easy to see right there. But the church never worry about that. Why? Because when all that stuff takes to pass, we're going to be gone.
Amen.
I say, let them do what they want to. Set it up, brother. Get it ready. Why? Before it can come to pass, the church has got to be gone.
Amen.
I don't care what they set up. Why? We're gone, we're gone, we're gone.
Amen.
And He knows what's going to happen. He's going back to dealing with Israel. So, we're going to get to chapter 11, verse 1. He says this. This is so, this stuff right here, this chapter, I could talk to you and talk to you and talk to you about it. Why it's so important to get it. He says, I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. He is not finished with Israel. He is not finished with Israel. He said, hath God cast away His people? Every time in that Bible when you see that reference to His people, that has to do with Israel. He says, God forbid, for I also am an Israelite indeed. He says this, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. You know what? Benjamin was a southern tribe. So that's why Paul used that old southern language. He says stuff like, I reckon. And stuff like, wow, that's southern language. And y'all, you know what? Like for years, people wonder why Southerners say the things like that. And Paul would say you all, and we say y'all and stuff like that. Why? Southerners down here in the Bible Belt been reading the Bible, and we picked up that language. And we say those things. Right. I say, I reckon I'm going to go down here to the store, you know, we're going to get some honey for our coffee and things like that. And we just countries we can be. And you know what? That's a good thing. Paul, but he was a real Israelite. So you know what a lot of people say? Well, the church has replaced Israel. No, we have not. Don't ever buy into that stuff. Why? The Lord's going back. That's what He's dealing with here. He says this, God hath not cast away His people, which He foreknew. Now here's an archaic word. Walk ye not what the Scripture saith of Elias? Now, look, you don't have to change the Bible. Well, we've got all kind of stuff that goes out and comes back in, but the Bible gives you one standard. All you got to do is look it up in your Webster dictionary and write it in the margin of the Bible. You don't have to change the text. Why? That text needs to stay fixed just like it is. Why? Because look, if you tried to change that text, every little word that you come across you didn't understand, you'd be changing the text all the time. And where would it end? Who would be the final authority? He just says, and you can figure it out, won't you not? What the Scripture saying? That's not hard to figure out. You know what? That King James Bible that you got right there in 2011 was 400 years old. Now, up until the past, probably, around 1900, nobody messed with anything, and it's 300 years old, and people still understanding and stuff like that. And now you got this lazy generation say, well, I just can't understand the Bible. Well, you can't understand much, can you? You know what happens? I'm just like anybody else. I have to get in there and study, and I have to study the thing out. Now, you know what we have to do? Anything we do, if you're going to be a doctor, if you're going to play golf, you got to know what a birdie is and all that. You got to learn the terminology. You know why those words are in there? Those are Bible words. Justification, sanctification, imputation, all these words, propitiation, they're all Bible words, and they need a fixed meaning. Why? So we can study and learn what the Bible says about the Bible. That's all that is. And I just wanted to give you that so you'd know, give you a little ammunition. He says this, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, man, that's rough, man, intercession against Israel. You imagine somebody like Elijah praying against you? Woo, I want people praying for me. I don't want anybody praying against me. But he's making intercession against a nation. That's rough business right there. All right, look at it. He says, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. You know what? Elijah's praying, and he's wrong whenever he's praying. Now, don't you know why he says, I'm the only one? Well, the Lord's going to say, I got 7,000 that hadn't bowed the knee. You know, a lot of times, don't you know the Lord's patient with us? Don't you know we're praying and we're saying, Lord, I'm the only one around here serving you. And Lord, I'm the only one going through this. You don't know, nobody else knows what I'm going through and stuff like that. The Lord's saying, poor thing. You don't know that all of you have like temptations, and I know other people that's going through the same thing you're going through, and I'm able to help you just like I was able to help them. I was tempted in all points like other men, yet without sin, and I've made a way to escape the temptation. I will help you. Elijah said, I'm the only one. The Lord said, hold on just a minute now. Watch what he does. He says, but what saith the answer of God unto him? Now God's going to answer. God says, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. The image. You know what? Israel, when he goes back to dealing with Israel, you know what's going? You're going to see a great big old, there's your good country, great big old. But you're going to see a large increase in more images, more statues. It's coming up while all roads lead to Rome, and Rome has statues, and you're going to see images, 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 images. Why? Because we sit on there at night, and you know what we do? We turn on that TV, and there's those images, images, images up there. And you know what the devil's got to do? You say, what's the deal with the images? Why is he bringing the images so much? I tell you why, to get you away from the words.
That's right.
If he can get our minds off the words, he can get us on the world. That's why, now look, I'm not saying you're of the devil. You got a TV. I got a TV at the house. I don't watch TV. But you know what you got to do? You got to make sure that you look at that Bible right there and make sure you spend time in that book and let God put those words in your mind. Why? Because that's the method God chose to cleanse our mind, through the washing of the water by the Word of God. He chose that. Why? So He can put the image in your mind. When that Word goes in your mind has to break that Word down and assimilate it. It has to go in here. And the Lord says, this is the clean image I want in your mind. You know what the world does? The world says, this is the picture I want to paint, and I want you to just look at it, and it's real easy to spoon feed you. And y'all, the Lord, salvation is easy. All you got to do is come to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. This other stuff takes work. Study takes work. And you know what happens? We've got to make sure that we make, every day, make sure you spend time with the Lord. Why? Because He's saying, hey, you know what the deal is with them? They were bowing their knees to images. And the Lord said, I've reserved 7,000 that happened to lies. You was wrong about that. But you know what we got to make sure we don't do? Is we not bowing down to the images of this world. We got to be just like those three Hebrew children. Everybody else, you don't have to go look for a fight. The fight will come to you.
Right.
And when the whole world's bowing down to the images, guess what we do? We just keep on standing. Just keep standing. He said, having done all to stand therefore, having the loins girt about and the breastplate of righteousness, loins girt about with truth, and all these, He's got a whole bunch of armor for us.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, man, now look here. He says this. How much time? Oh, me. All right, I always run out of time because I get talking too much. Now look here. This is something you need to know for dispensational teaching here. Wow, what are we doing? We're rightly dividing the Word of God. Now when I say rightly dividing, what I mean by that is this. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, and y'all just happen to be on a night where we're teaching, we found the verses where it's teaching rightly divide. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now why is that? Study is work. So we have to rightly divide. Why? There's divisions in the Bible. Alright, so what happens is this. He says in verse 5, even so at this present time.
That's right.
Why? At this present, there was a past time, there's a present time, and guess what? There's going to be a future time.
That's right.
Alright, so at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now, right now, the remnant is this, of Israel. He's talking about Israel. Anybody who's of Israel, who's trusted the Messiah, is not bound the image of Baal, so to speak. He's saying, hey, there's still people, even though Elijah way back then thought there was nobody else but him, there was still a remnant. You know what? There's still a remnant of Jews right now that still believe. Most Jews do not believe in the Messiah. You tell them about Jesus, they don't believe you. But there's still a remnant. Alright, now what he's saying is, at this present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Now, before I get into this, elect. E-L-E-C-T. Now, how do you become one of the elect? There are three groups of people in the Bible that's called elect. You got elect angels. Now you can do a study on your own, but or take my word for it. There's elect angels. Israel and Isaiah is called the elect. And then Jesus Christ is called the elect. Now, you are not elect. So how do I say, well, the Bible talks about the elect, and we're elect according to foreknowledge of God. How do I become elect? Calvinists believe that God just went out there and He said, all right, I'm going to elect these. I'm not going to elect these. That's not so. What do I do? I'm not Israel, so I mark that out, so I can't be elect there. I'm not an angel, so I mark that out. So my only hope to be an elect is Jesus Christ, right? The Bible says Jesus is the elect. So guess what I do? I trust Him, and guess what? Colossians 3:3 says, my life is hid with Christ in God, and Christ is God. So how do I become elect? I trust Jesus Christ, and I'm now elect. Why? Because He's elect. And everything that applies to Him applies to me. All His eternal life applies to me. All His blessings apply to me. He's the King over New Jerusalem, so guess what? I'm in Him, and I'm His bride, and everything that He owns, I own. I tell you what, brother. It's just, you can't lose either way. Why? I'm in Him. Y'all, I'll be praising the Savior if He lets me have breath from now forever for that fact right there.
Amen.
Why? Because Israel's elect. And you know what He's saying? At this present time, there's still a remnant. But what He's saying is this. He's got to tell them there's an election of grace. Why? We're being saved by grace through faith. Now watch this. He's having to let them know. Verse 6, and if by grace, then it is no more. No more. Why? There used to be works of the law. We've talked about Romans 10:5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. What happens is the law brings a work to do. The gospel brings a word to believe. What He's saying is, it's no more of works. He's trying to tell them Jews right there, He said, you're in a present time, and He said, you're so used to that law, and the law said, do this and do that, and you have to have faith, but then you got to go offer up the sacrifice. What He's saying is, you're in a present time right now, in the dispensation, the church age. You know what He's saying? C-H-U-R-C-H. Alright, we're in the church age right here, and He's saying this, all you got to do is come to the Lord and trust what He did for you on the cross. Why? Because He's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. All those lambs pointed to Jesus Christ. They didn't understand what was going on now. But now that Paul has got the revelation of mystery, Paul is saying, hey, I'm showing you that stuff pointed to Jesus. You're no longer under that law. You're no longer under those works. Why? Because the Lord did all the work for you. The Lord did all the saving. And the Lord said it's finished on the cross. And all you got to do is come by Him. He's saying it's no more of works. Now watch this. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. What He's saying is, it can't be both. If you're saying, okay, some people say, well, you got to work for salvation. He's saying it can't be grace then. Watch this. He even goes on. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What He's saying, He makes sure in that verse to tell you it's either grace or works. It can't be both of them. And it's salvation by grace through faith alone. That's what Paul said. So if you add anything else to salvation, you're adding works to salvation. So guess what? I appreciate people coming down and wanting to pray and things like that. And this is always open. But don't you ever think that this pastor right here is going to say that you've got to come down to be saved. That's works. You don't have to come to me or anybody else. Why? There's one mediator between God, man, the man Christ Jesus. I've read stories about people getting saved in a deer stand. I've read stories about people getting saved on the way to work. I've read stories about people getting saved at places you just wouldn't believe. Why? Because it's not of works. All you got to do is trust what Jesus Christ done. And whenever you call on Him, the Bible says, whosoever shall call shall be saved.
Amen.
He's trying to let them know right there, hey, you're in this present time right here. And man, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's nothing you can do. It's already done.
Amen.
Man, ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
Man, I tell you, it just don't get no better. Well, now watch this, verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. All right, now, you talking about obtained it? I'll read a verse to you again. In Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. There's no difference. What He's saying is, they've obtained it. How they obtained it? By just coming to Jesus and believe on Jesus Christ. He's saying, and the rest were blinded. Now here's a scary thing right here. He's saying the ones that obtained it, the ones that come through belief, and the rest were blinded. You know what? Light rejected. Jesus is light, right? He said, I'm the light of the world. So light rejected becomes lightning. That's a scary thing. Look what happens here. According as it is written, God hath given them, He gave it to them, given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. So you know what? Sleeping. Look, if I'm asleep, I was taking a nap earlier today at the house. I couldn't hear anything that was going on. You know what? I got eyes and ears, but I couldn't hear anything going on. I couldn't see anything going while I was taking a nap. You know what Israel as a nation's doing right now? They're in slumber. They got eyes. They're walking around. They got ears. They're walking around. But as far as God's concerned, they're not seeing God and they're not hearing from God. Why? Because they rejected the light. He came and you know what? Anybody who will accept the light, He'll lighten their eyes and He'll open their ears. But if they won't, they're in rejection. He said, hey, they're just blind.
Amen.
Y'all, that's what's going on. And I tell you, it's scary to see that. Why? Because we're going to read next week, Lord willing, He allows us to be here. We're going to read this. That Bible is going to teach you that at the end, the Gentiles are going to do the same thing the Jews did. Y'all, we don't have to be like that. You know what? We don't have to be a church that's going out and in the way of the world. You know, all we got to do is just trust Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is follow Jesus and we don't have to be like the world.
That's
we can
right.
just keep serving the Lord. We can be like Elijah and be like that remnant and to be the ones that didn't bow to the knee. Man, won't that be a blessing to be a part of that?
Yes.
I tell you, the Lord is good. We're going to have a close out song there because we got a special afternoon.